Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. I see it's a very smart shul to have a clock right here by the rabbi, you know. being that tomorrow is Tu B'Av, and this week's parsha is Parshas Veschanan, so I was trying to look for a connection between both Parshas Veschanan and Tu B'Av. And the truth is, you don't have to go so far, because the Pnei Yoshua tells us in Maseches Brachos that Veschanan El Hashem Be'isahi Lemur, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm davening to the Rebbeinu Shalom to let me enter Eretz Yisrael. What day was that? When did that happen? Says the Pnei Yeshua, if you calculate, the Medrash tells us that there are 515 tefillos, and he assumes there are a certain amount of tefillos every day. He says those tefillos, the Parsha Veschanan El Hashem Be'isa Hilemor, happened on Tu B'Av. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So if that's the case, so then now that begs the question we have to ask ourselves. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu specifically pick the day of Tu B'Av to daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom? Why did he think that that was an opportune time to that perhaps that his tefillos would be answered? So we have to look a little bit into what the day of Tu B'Av is about. So let's take a look. If everyone has handouts, let's take a look at Mar Mokum number 1. What the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Tanis as follows. Amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael kechamisha asar ba'av. There are no yamim tovim in Klal Yisrael like the 15th of Av, uchi yom ha-kippurim, like yom ha-kippur. Shebehen, what would happen on these days? Shebehen binos Yisrael yotzes b'chi lovan she'ulin. They would borrow clothing from their friends. Shlo levayis is misha eno. In order not to embarrass anyone who didn't have their own clothing. Kol ha-kelim t'unim tefila. They would be tovel all of their clothing in case that some of them were tamei. Ubenos Yerushalayim yotzos v'chulos bikramim. And the daughters of Yerushalayim, the Benos Yisrael, they would go out and dance, sing and dance in the vineyards of Eretz Yisrael. Umahayu omros. And what would they say? Bachor, they would tell the young men, Sona einecha, lift up your eyes. Look what you're choosing for yourself. Atitein einecha binoy. Don't look at the external beauty. Tein einecha b'mishpacha. Sheker hachein vehevel hayofi isha yiras Hashem hitizhal. So it was a celebration where single women would go out, they would look for their shidduch, they would present themselves to the Bachurei Yisrael in order to get married. So the question is, one could ask three questions on such a gemara, such a celebration. First of all, we have to understand, what is Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim about? The Mishnah started off by saying, Lo hayu yomim tovim b'Yisrael, ela k'chamisha asar b'av uch Yom HaKippurim. What's so special about chamisha asar b'av and Yom HaKippurim that these two things are considered the greatest celebration for all of Klal Yisrael? And what do they have in common? Seemingly the Mishnah is putting them in the same bracket, the same group, so obviously there's something, some tzad hashava, there's some common denominator between the two of them, that there's a great celebration, and there's some common denominator here between Yom Kippur specifically and Tu B'Av that we are celebrating. So that's question number one. What's so fantastic about Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim? Second of all, we know why we do celebrate Yom HaKippurim, obviously, to the extent that it was always celebrated. Tu B'Av sort of fell out of vogue. Tu B'Av is not really the greatest celebration anymore. What happened to Tu B'Av? The Mishnah said, Lo hayom yomim tovim liYisrael ki Tu B'Av. So why right now, this year, is there not a great celebration in Tu B'Av? Why is Tu B'Av something where, okay, maybe you say Tachnun, maybe you don't, but at the end of the day, Tu B'Av is not considered Lo hayom yomim tovim liYisrael. So what happened to Tu B'Av? And the third question that one could pose is, why were these yomim tovim specifically designated that they're being celebrated by the women? Why is Tu B'Av a day, once we figure out why there's tremendous celebration, and Yom HaKippurim, why this tremendous celebration, why are these days specifically where the Benos Yisrael would be celebrating? Benos Yisrael would go out and they would sing and dance. You see that the celebration primarily focuses around the women of Klal Yisrael. Why would it focus on the women more than the men? So, before answering these questions, again, three questions. What's the celebration of Tu B'Av? Why are we so excited about Tu B'Av? Why don't we celebrate it so much anymore? Why has it fallen out of practice to a large extent? And why is this a Yom Tov which focuses on women? Those are the three questions I'd like to address. But I want to take a pause now and go to another Yom Tov which focuses on women. What's the other Yom Tov that focuses primarily on women, that women practice more than men? Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, the Torah writes in Rosh Chodesh. You have to know this, right? I didn't know this till I prepared the shiur, but you have to know this. The Torah writes in Or HaChayim Hilchas Chodesh Simin Tov Yud Zayin. Take a look at Mar Mokom number 3. Shehanoshim B'telos Bomim Melacha. On Rosh Chodesh Simin Tov Yud Zayin Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. Shehanoshim B'telos Bomim Melacha. Women don't work. They don't do Melacha on Rosh Chodesh. V'hachanami Yisto B'Yushalmi. And the source for this is in the Yushalmi. Hani Noshi D'Nehigi D'Lo L'Mevad Avidetza B'Reish Yarcha. Minhaga, there are those women that have the practice that they don't do any work on Rosh Chodesh. Many women, they don't do any work on Rosh Chodesh. They don't clean the house. They don't do laundry. Most women do go to work if they are employed. But the minhag has become that women, the minhag has been for generations that women refrain from work on Rosh Chodesh. So it continues the Torah as follows. Beperek memdal mepirkei de Rebbe Elazar l'fisha lo ratzu nashim litein nizmeyen lebaalehen b'masei egel. So now we begin to get a glimpse of why this is a yomtiv for Bnos Yisrael specifically, and the Torah tells us the reason is because the women acted more righteously than the men did when it came to the egel azav. We know that the egel azav the men were very excited about. They jumped on the bandwagon very quickly. It was their idea. And they went to the women. They asked the women for the jewelry. What can do it? Getting involved. So as a reward for not getting involved in the Egel Hazav, some reason that connects to Rosh Chodesh, and therefore they are to celebrate Rosh Chodesh. We have to understand, what does the Egel Hazav have to do with Rosh Chodesh? That's something that we still have to explore a little further. But again, the first glimpse from the tour of why women celebrate Rosh Chodesh, because they didn't take part in the Egel Hazav. Let's go a little further in the tour. Women, they keep Rosh Chodesh more than the men. They celebrate Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov le-Nashim. And then continues the tour. I heard from my brother, Tam Ledover. The reason for this is as follows. We know that the Moadim were established corresponding, each Moad, each Yom Tov corresponds to one of the Avos. Pesach keneged Avram. Pesach corresponds to Avram Avinu, Dichsiv, Lushi Vasi Ugos, Upesachayu. Sarah, what was she making? She was making matzos. Shvuos Kneged Yitzchak. Shvuos corresponds to Yitzchak. Shetkiya Shofar Shal Matan Torah, Haya B'Shofar Me'elo Shal Yitzchak. Because Matan Torah, the Kolos Uvrakim of Matan Torah, the Shofar of Matan Torah, was the Elo Shal Yitzchak. Sukkos Kneged Yaakov. Sukkos corresponds to Yaakov Avinu, Dichsiv, Ulimikneu Asasukos. So we have each one of the Yom Tovim corresponding to one of the Avos. V'yudbeiz Rosh Chodesh Hashana, and the 12 months of the year, the 12 Rosh Chodesh, Shigam Heim Nikra'im Moedim, that they are also called a Moed. Rosh Chodesh is considered to be a Moed. Kineged Yudbeiz Shvatim, they were originally established to correspond to the Yudbeiz Shvatim. But what occurred? We know what occurred. Uchushechatu be'egel, when the Yudbeis Shvatim, okay, Levi wasn't, that's a question. But most of Yudbeis Shvatim, they sinned at the Chet ha'egel. Nitlu mehem Rosh Chodesh was taken from the men, taken from the Yudbeis Shvatim, v'nitnu linishoseim, and it was given to their wives. L'zeche shelo hayu ba'osechei. To remember, so everyone remembers, Rosh Chodesh is for the women. Why is Rosh Chodesh for the women? Because the woman, originally it was for the men. Originally it was for the Yud Beis Shvatim. But we had to take it away from the Yud Beis Shvatim. They weren't worthy of it after the Chet HaEgel. And since they weren't worthy, so it was given to the women. Again, an important point to point out over here is, was it simply that it was taken from them because of the Chet HaEgel? Okay, so now we have these 12 Yomim Tovim, with no one, it doesn't correspond to them. There's no one who's supposed to celebrate them. So what do? We look for someone who wasn't involved in the Egel. Oh, we found the woman. We give it to the woman. Is that all that's going on over here? We had to give it to someone, so the women were available because they didn't take part in the Egel. Or is there more inherent of a connection between Rosh Chodesh specifically and the Chet HaEgel, and the fact that the women didn't take part in the Chet HaEgel? So that's a reason to give them the celebration of Rosh Chodesh. So Mordechai Miller, who is an older Rav, an American Rav, he wrote some English Svarim. He's a Talmud of Rav Eliyahu Dessler. He points out something very fascinating. He says as follows. He says it's much more than that. He says, take a look at Mar Mokom number 4. Says the Torah in Parshas Vayakal, Vayavo kol ish asher nisa libo. We're talking about the dedication of the Mishkan. when Klal Yisrael was dedicating the Mishkan, they were donating all the different materials for the building of the Mishkan. Every man that his heart was raised, that he was inspired to dedicate to the Mishkan, he brought the Chumas Hashem l'meleches Ohel Moed, for the Ohel Moed to be built. U'lechol avodaso, u'levig de HaKodesh, for all everything that had to be done in the Ohel Moed, and all the clothing that had to be built for the, had to be made for the Kohanim. Vayavo'u ha'anoshim al hanoshim. Key words over here. Vayavo'u ha'anoshim, and the men came al hanoshim, in addition to the woman. It sounds like, as the Rishonim point out, that primarily the women came. Vayavo'u ha'anoshim al hanoshim. The men came also. They also came. But really, who came first? Who jumped in? Who was excited about it? It was the women who came. Kol nediv lev heviu chach v'nezem v'taba'as v'chumoz kol kli zav v'chol isha sher heinif tnufas zohav v'hashem. Explains Rav Mordechai Miller as follows. Take a look at the next makom. The mission of us tells us, arba midos bideos. There are four types of temperaments, the four types of personalities that exist in the world. Noach lichos is someone who's easily angered. V'noach lirtzos, and that person is also easily appeased. Yotza schara behefseida. Okay, so he's easily appeased, but he gets angry very easily. So yotza schara behefseida. Kasha lichos is someone who is very hard to get angry, but then when you get him angry, kasha lirtzos, yotza hefseido bischara. Then the Mishnah says, kasha lichos, but someone who's very difficult to get him angry. V'noach lirtzos, but once he gets angry, it's easy to appease him. Chosid. That person is considered to be a pious person. That's a chosid. And then on the contrary, Noach Licho, someone who's easy to get upset, Vikosha Lirtzos, but hard to appease, so this person is a Rasha. So ask the Maharal the following question. Just because we're going to base a person on a person's nature, a person's temperament, his tendencies, his natural tendencies, we're going to say he's a chosid, he's a Rasha. We're not talking about actions that a person did. We're talking about a person's temperament, the way he was born, how a person, the person's personality. So we're going to call a person a chassid, a rasha, based on his personality. So explains the Maharal, which is probably the simple pshat in this Mishnah, says no. If a person's personality is that he's very quick, he deals with situations that his personality gets riled up very quickly, so then that person will get riled up quickly, he'll get angry very quickly, and it'll also be easy to appease. That's his personality. I get very upset. I'm in the heat of the moment, I'm tremendously angry. But it's easy to get me appeased. It's easy to get me angry. It's easy to appease me. That's a personality. And there's the opposite type of personality. There's a personality where I don't get so riled up so quickly. It takes a long time. You really have to get me going. You have to really annoy me to get me angry. Again, that's my personality. I'm more of a laid-back guy. To get me angry takes a long time. But again, once you get me angry, I've been through the ring. You've done so many things to me to get me angry. So to appease me also, my personality is, I don't switch so quickly. Am I a person who switches from anger to appease me quickly or not? But either way, if that's your personality, so that will go in both directions. If it's just a personal tendency, it's a temperament, so it'll cut both ways. If you're easy to anger, you'll be easy to appease. If you're hard to anger, so you'll be hard to appease. So explains the Maharal, but specifically the type of person who has worked on himself, and he is clearly trying to develop himself, so then it doesn't matter what his personal tendency is. When it comes to anger, he's going to be slow to anger. He doesn't want to get upset at people. And when it comes to being appeased, he's going to be appeased very quickly. So if a person shows multiple different types of temperaments, depending on the circumstance, depending on what midah we're talking about, so that shows, that's clearly a person who is not just going with whatever his temperament was, whatever he was born with. That's a person who has worked on himself very well and got to that stage. So explains Rav Mordechai Miller as follows. The same is true when it comes to the women. The women at first, they didn't give away their jewelry. They didn't give away their jewelry to Egel Hazav. So someone could have argued, they didn't give away their jewelry because they like their jewelry. I'm not giving my jewelry to Egel Hazav. I like this stuff. I'm not going to give it. It has nothing to do with the fact that they didn't want to take part in the Egel Hazav. It has to do with the fact that they wanted to hold on to the jewelry. So right when they took part in, when they refrained from the Egel Hazav, we weren't ready yet to reward the women. They didn't get Rosh Chodesh yet right away. But then, a few months later, when Klal Yisrael is ready to dedicate to the Mishkan, and then they need Kol Yisrael Libo, now we need people to commit. We need people to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. And then all of a sudden, the Nashim are the first ones who come. The women jump on the bandwagon the first. They're running, they're throwing their jewelry for the Mishkan. So then it reflects what was going on with the Egel. Then it's clear that it's not simply that they wanted to hold on to their jewelry. No, on the contrary, they're willing to give up their jewelry, but only for the right cause. They didn't want to take part in the Egel Hazav, so they held back from the Egel Hazav. I'm not giving my husband the stuff, the jewelry to serve the Egel Hazav. But then a few months later, when it's L'Shem Shemayim, when it's to service the Rabbono Shel Olam, so then say the woman, I'm going to come, I'm donating. Vayavohu ha'anashim al ha'anashim. They were there first. They were the ones who donated before the men. They were excited to do it. It was bizrizus. And in fact, this is a comment of, like I mentioned to you, Mordechai Miller, but he was already beat to the point. If you take a look at the Rishonim, the Rishonim already make a very similar point. Take a look at Maromakum number 6, the Das Sekenim Ibalitosis. The Balitosis, al HaTorah, say as follows, Vayavolu ha'anoshim al ha'anoshim. The men came on top of the women, meaning in addition to the women, but the primary donations came from the women. Klomar, lishlo mehen tachshiteyen. They gave all their jewelry, all their tachshitim, kidichsev, as the pasuk says, choch venezem ve'afal pike. Hanoshim smechas, and they were happy to do it. Vizihiros, and they were very careful, they were very makud, they were zorid, they were zealous to do it. Bimelech shemayim, kidichsev, kol hanoshim asher nosa libon osana, lefichach, Zochu hanoshim shelo la'asos milocha b'rosh chodesh. It's because of this that the women get the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh. And he goes further. Lefisha b'maisa ha'egel, because when it came to the Chet ha'egel, lokhu tachshiteyen bal karchon. The men went and ran and took their jewelry bal karchon against their will. And they didn't let the men take it. They put up a fight. Kedemashma midichsiv vayisparku, that the men had to grab it from them. Uvemaisa mishkan, but when it came to the mishkan, to building the mishkan, when it comes to donating to something which is l'shem shemayim, samchu b'nesina, they were willing to give it up in a moment. Lefichach nosan lahem rosh chodesh liyam tov. V'nira li dezehu rosh chodesh nishan shebo hukam hamishkan. The agav ros osa rosh chodesh mishmaros kol rosh chodesh mishamros kol rosh chodesh hashana. So explains the Balaitosis as follows. It's not just random that we had to take rosh chodesh away from the men, and the women didn't take part in the egel hazav, so we give it to the women. Not at all. The Chanukah Sabayis of the Mishkan, the donating to the Mishkan, took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it was that day on Rosh Chodesh Nisan where the women were very, very careful and they were very zealous to donate to the Mishkan. And that's when they showed, not only are we willing to donate our jewelry to the Mishkan, but that reflects on what happened a few months earlier. That reflects on what happened at the time of the Egel when they weren't willing to donate their stuff. Why wasn't I willing to do it? Not because I wanted to hold on to my jewelry. I'll prove it to you. I just donated all my jewelry to the Mishkan. Why am I not willing to give it? Because I'm not willing to give it to the Egel Zav. So specifically on Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when they demonstrated that their lack of excitement for the Egel was L'Shem Shemayim. It wasn't because they were excited about the jewelry. It was because L'Shem Shemayim, they didn't want to take part in the Egel Zav. So we take away the Rosh Chodesh from the men, from the Yud Beis Shvatim, and we give it to the women to celebrate for all of eternity. That's how the Yom Tif of Rosh Chodesh, the Moed of Rosh Chodesh, became a Yom Tif for women. And the truth is, this is already indicated in the Medrash itself. Because I learned that the Aaron, I don't know how, if this is true universally, you'll tell me, but I learned that Aaron HaKohen was faced with a predicament, right? Aaron HaKohen, he sees Klal Yisrael serving the Egel. Chur tries to put an end to it. They knock him off right away. So Aaron HaKohen says, what am I going to do with it? If I protest, they're going to kill me. So Aaron has a great idea. You know what? I'll tell them, go get the Zav and the jewelry, the gold and jewelry, silver from your wives. And Aaron says, it's never going to happen. They're never going to give it to you. So I always assume, why are they never going to give it? Because they like their jewelry. They're not going to give it. Why would they donate to the Mishkan all their jewelry? Why would they donate to the Egel Zav all their jewelry? But if you take a look at the Medrash, that's not what the Medrash says. Yes, Aaron thought that the women wouldn't donate it, but for a different reason entirely. Take a look at the Medrash in Maromakum number 9, on the opposite, on the second side. Says the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Kisisa as follows: V'yesh Omrim she'omad Satan v'hira lahem d'muz mitasa. There are those that explain that the Satan came and showed Klal Yisrael a picture of the bed of Arav, the coffin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mimasha Amru kizem Moshe ha'ish. This is Moshe. They saw. They thought he was dead. Miyad Omar Chur v'gara behem. So Chur stands up and protests. Amdu alav v'hagul. They knocked him off. They killed him. Chur is not letting the eagle get rid of Chur. Kishara Aaron kach. When Aaron saw this, Nisyar, he became afraid. He was filled with fear. V'hizchil me'esikon bidvar. And he tried to distract them with words. What did he say? V'hem omrim lo kum asei lanu Elohim. Make for us a God, Aaron HaKohen. V'akol goloi lifonai lifnei misha omar v'hoya olam. Everything is revealed in front of the Rabbonu Shalom. Mahe mevakshim, Aaron says. You know what they want. You know what they want me to do. Omr lehem Aaron. So Aaron has a brainstorm. He says, as we all learned, Pirku nizme hazav asher be'ozne nizhechem. Go take the jewelry. Ask your wives for the jewelry. Thinking they'll never give the jewelry. But why they never give the jewelry? Read the next line of the Midrash. Omer Aaron lehem davar kosher shehanoshim misakvos. They're going to hold back. Shehem ra'u kol hanisim v'hagvuro she'osa ha'kodesh baruch hu b'mitzrayim u'b'yam u'b'sinai. Why will the women hold back? Because they saw all the miracles. They saw all Yitzias Mitzrayim. They saw Kriyas Yamsuf. They saw everything that was going on in the Midbar. They saw the Mon. They saw the Anani Yaakov. And the first thing that pops into your head, obviously, is the men also saw it. It didn't stop the men. So what do you see from here? The Medrash is pointing out that this made a more real, lasting impact on the women. The women, they weren't willing. They see Moshe Rabbeinu. They're concerned, perhaps, Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter. The miracles, the lasting impression of the Rabbonu Shalom, everything that the Rabbonu Shalom has done for them in the past months, they're not willing to give that up so quickly. They're not willing to betray the Rabbonu Shalom in a moment's notice just because they're afraid, they're nervous. The men, the minute they got scared, off to the Egel Azov. The women, says Aaron HaKohen, the women are not going to fall. The women are not going to falter. They're not going to leave their Rabbonu Shalom. They were impressed. They improved themselves. They were ma'aminim. They believed in the Rabbonu Shalom. They saw all the miracles. They saw what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. They're not going to betray the Rabbonu Shalom so quickly. The truth is, this same concept of the nature of women, especially the women at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and this is the nature of women through Tanakh, it really starts, you could see this very sharply at Matan Torah itself already. What does the Torah say at Matan Torah? Take a look at Marmoko number 10, Parshas Yisro. Moshe Allah El Ha'Elohim. Moshe went up to on Har Sinai, went up to the Rabbanu Shalom to receive the Torah. Vayikrei Lav Hashem min Ahar. And Rabbanu Shalom told, he called to him from the mountain, Lemor, saying, Kol somar leveis Yaakov. So you shall say leveis Yaakov, visagir livnei Yisrael, and tell b'nei Yisrael. Says Rashi, we're all familiar with this Rashi, leveis Yaakov, who's leveis Yaakov? Elu hanoshim. These are the women. Tomer lahem b'loshen racha. Tell them in a soft, nice, easygoing, b'nachas. Explain to them the Torah, b'nachas, with menucha, with rest, nicely, not harshly. V'sagid livnei Yisrael, but to the men, onshim, tell them the punishments, v'duktein, and all the details, perish l'zacharim. For the men, you have to tell them everything. Dvarim hakashim gegidin, the things that are harsh, the things that are hard to bear. And what's the difference between men and women? Says the Medrash, lama l'noshim t'chila, why the women get it first? Shehem mizdarzos b'mitzvah. Because the women, as the way the Mefarshim on the Medrash explain, the women, you don't have to tell them the punishments. You don't have to tell them all the details. You don't tell them what's going to happen if you don't keep the mitzvah. You give them the Rosh Prakim. You give them the top. You give them the mitzvah, the emuna. Emuna pshuta. The Rabbanu Shalom wants me to do this, I'm going to do it. Kol somar lebeis Yaakov. All you have to do is tell Beis Yaakov. You don't have to scare them into it. You don't have to rile them up by saying that if you don't do this, you know there's going to be consequences. No, leveis Yaakov, you could tell them benachas. You could tell them calmly. You could tell them, do this Torah. Look at the beautiful Torah that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us, and they'll keep it. They'll see if the Rabbanu Shalom wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. When it comes to the men, that's when you need to tell them the consequences. That's when you need to tell them the punishment. That's when you need to tell them all the details. So already you see from the time of Matan Torah, this emuna pshuta in the Rabbanu Shalom, the simple emuna, faith in God, not willing to betray God for any reason. Simply, if the Rabbanu Shalom wants me to do something, I'm going to follow it. The truth is, this already predates Matan Torah. Matan Torah perhaps is a sharp time where we could see this distinction between men and women very clearly. But let's backtrack a few months back. When the original Gezerah, the harsh decree of Paro, was set into place. Look at Maramakum number 13. Vayimoraru es chayehem. We all know, we're all familiar with what Paro's plan was to make their lives bitter ba'avoda kasha, with harsh work, b'chomer uveveinim uvechol avoda basada, as kol avodasam asher avdu b'hem b'farach, harsh, back-breaking labor. Pasuk tezvah, v'yomer melech mitzrayim lemilyaldos. Paro tells Shifra and Pua, as we know, right? He tells the midwives, right? The milyaldos, the midwives, the Hebrew midwives. Eshem ha'achash Shifra, v'eshem ha'ashir es Pua. One of them is Shifra, and one of them is Pua. Vayomer b'yaldechen es ha'ivriyos re'isen alavonim in benhu. If it's a son, as we know, v'hamiten oso, you have to kill him. V'imbasi v'chay, if it's a daughter, you can let live. And obviously, the natural reaction for such a person, coming, being visited by the Melech Mitzrayim, the king, and the king telling you, you know, if you don't follow my desires, you know what could happen to you. I'm the king of Mitzrayim, and I say, kill every woman. The next pasuk doesn't say simply that they didn't listen. Doesn't say that they tried to get around it. What does it say? The next pasuk says, "Vatir'eno hamiyaldos esho elokim." They feared one thing. They feared God. They didn't fear the Paro Mitzrayim. They didn't fear the king. They didn't fear what would happen to them if they didn't listen to Paro Mitzrayim. Vatir'eno, they're steadfast. Steadfast in their fear of Hashem, in their Yirah Shemayim. And again later, the pasuk also says it again, just in case a person has second thoughts. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayehi ki yaru hamiyaldus eshel Elohim. Throughout the parsha, we see one thing. Shifra and Puah, the Medrash even says, why name Shifra? Shehofia poneha b'paro melech Mitzrayim. She was willing to stand up strong to Paro melech Mitzrayim. I don't care. I don't care what you ask from me. Vatir'ena hamiyaldus eshel Elohim. When it comes to the women have this emunah pshuta, have this bitachon in the Ribbono Shalom. I'm not going to veer from what he wants from me. I have a clear vision. Yiras Hashem is what I'm asked to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow the Rabbanu Shalom no matter what it means for me. The Melech Mitzrayim could come and ask me to do something. Vatir'ena hamiyaldos eso Elokim. All they feared was the Rabbanu Shalom. And perhaps this is most obvious when it comes to Miriam Hanaviyah. Take a look at Miriam Hanaviyah. We'll start from the end of the story of Miriam, or from the latter parts of the story of Miriam, and we'll work our way back. Says the Torah in Parshas B'Shalach, Marmakom number 14. Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah Achos Aaron Es Hatov Biyada. Miriam the prophet came, the sister of Aaron, important word, Es Hatov, she takes Hatov Biyada, the tambourine which was in her hand. Let me ask you a question. This is a comment I saw from an old European Rav. I don't even recognize the name, but it's such a striking word I have to share with you. It says, Hatof biyada. Doesn't say tufim. She took the tambourines. Doesn't even say, Vatikach tof. She took a tambourine. She took an instrument. Vayitik Miriam es ha-tof. The tof. We know what a hey hayidia does. When you add a hey, it's talking about a specific tof. A specific instrument. What specific instrument are we talking about over here? Vatikach Miriam es ha-tof. The tof. Has the Torah ever referred to a tof before that we're supposed to remember? Oh, it was that tof. What's the Torah telling us over here? And he explained beautifully as follows. He said, Vatikach Miriam es ha-tof asher biyada, which was in her hand. Where was this tof from? So what does the pasuk say? Vatikach Miriam hanaviyah achos aharon. The sister of Aaron. And Chazal tell us, why specifically over here was she described as the sister of Aaron? When was she a prophetess? When did she have Ruach HaKodesh? When was she a Neviyah? That was when she was the sister of Aaron, before Moshe Rabbeinu was on the scene. When was that? Explains the Gemara in Sota. There was a time, we're all familiar with this, there was a time when Paro's decree became so harsh, comes Amram, the Gadol Hadar, and says, we have to separate. There's no point in having any more children. Why should we continue to multiply? Why should we continue to have more children? All they're going to do is suffer at the hands of the Mitzrim. And who was the one who told Paro not? So it says the Pasuk, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, referring to Amram, Vayikach as Bas Levi. And she takes Yocheved and says the Gemara, what does that mean? Vayelech holach be'atzas bito. He took the advice of his young little daughter. Before Moshe was on the scene. Moshe was born after this. Achos Aaron. It was at the time when she was merely the sister of Aaron. Moshe wasn't there yet. And she told Amram, she said, you can't give up. You're just going to give up like this? Klal Yisrael has to multiply. Paro's going to take care of the men. You're taking care of the men and the women. Paro said, the men, the boys have to die. But you, if you don't continue to get married, and everyone followed you, everyone divorced their wives, no one's having children anymore, we're not going to have boys, we're not going to have girls. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi holach be'atzas bito. He went with the advice of his young daughter Miriam, showing that emunah pshuta, Klal Yisrael is going to continue. It might be hard times. It's hard to see how we're going to continue, but we'll get through this. And Amram, listen. But then the Gemara says something interesting. That Aaron and Miriam, they made a chuppah, a remarriage, a celebration for their parents, for Amram and Yocheved. And they went out, they made a chuppah for them, and they made a celebration. They danced and they sung the Rikudim. Explains this Rav. Again, I can't remember his name. That tof, ha tof asher biyada, that tambourine. You think this was the first time Miriam was holding this tof? Miriam was holding this tof throughout Shibur Mitzrayim. Miriam was going around to all of Klal Yisrael, showing them there will be a time when we get out of this. There will be a time of celebration. Don't give up hope. She would go around at the heart, at the depths of the Golas, when Klal Yisrael had basically given up hope, and she would show them there's a tambourine here. There's a time where we're going to get out, we're going to be singing Shiru Shvacha to Leilokim, we're going to be singing celebration to the Rabbonu Shalom with this tambourine. Don't give up hope. Have faith in the Rabbonu Shalom. And then it was time for the remarriage of her parents. She convinced them to get remarried, and she dances in front of them with this tof. We're going to get out of this. We're going to have children. We're going to multiply, and the Rabbonu Shalom is going to take us out of this. And then finally comes Yetzias Mitzrayim. Comes Kriyas Yamsuf, and the men are standing there dancing. They don't have any instruments because their instruments were thrown out years ago. There is going to be no celebration. There is not going to be any time to celebrate. There is not going to be any Yetzias Mitzrayim. There wasn't going to be any Geula. They'd given up long ago on it. But the women, Vatikach Miriam es hatof asher biyada. That tof, that tambourine which she had been holding on to, the very same tof, hatof asher biyada, the tof that was in her hand when she was achos Aaron, when she was celebrating the remarriage of her children, of her parents, and trying to convince Klal Yisrael that there will be a bright future. Now she takes out the tof and she shows Klal Yisrael, you see, with a little bit of faith, with a little bit of moon in the Rabbanu Shalom, you see how far we've come. You see that he fulfilled his promise. You see what I told you has come true. There's going to be a time of celebration. Now it's a time to dance and celebrate. Now it's a time where you look, the men have no instruments, but we the women, Vatikach Miriam, es hatof asher biyadah. Perhaps no greater illustration of the emunah, the bitachon of Noshim Tzidkaniyos. Noshim Tzidkaniyos, the righteous woman, Bizchusehen, in their merit, we left Mitzrayim. Because if it were not for them, Klal Yisrael would have given up long ago. Klal Yisrael would have given up on multiplying. Klal Yisrael would have given up on continuing. It was only because the women gave us that courage, gave us that drive to continue, that faith that God will take care of us, were we willing to continue. And the truth is, it wasn't just Miriam who was the leader of the women. It wasn't just Miriam Hanaviya. We know the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Vayakel, Mar Makom number 17, Vayas es hakior nechoshes ve eskano nechoshes bimaros hatsovos asher tzovu pesach oal moed. The Rebbe Shlom said, make the kiyor in the Beis HaMikdash with the mirrors. Bimaros hatzovos asher tzavu pesach omeo. What mirrors are these? Explains Rashi from Chazal, a well-known Rashi, but in light of what we've been learning this morning, I think it's important to stress. Look at Mar Malcolm number 18, says Rashi, bimaros hatzos, in the mirrors. Binos Yisrael hayu biyadon maros, the children, the daughters of Klal Yisrael had mirrors in their hands. Shiro'os behen kishehem miskashtos, that they would beautify themselves in front of these mirrors. Va'osan lo ikvu melohavi linidvas ha-mishkan. As we mentioned before, the women were so excited to donate to the Mishkan, everything went. It was the jewelry, the necklace, the earrings, everything went, even the mirrors. What do we need the mirrors for? Bring them to the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu takes a look at the Mishkan, at the mirrors, says, what were these mirrors for? These mirrors were used for physical, to enhance one's beauty. Is this the appropriate place to have it in the Mishkan? Says the Medrash V'haya, Moes Moshe Behen. Moshe Rabbeinu was disgusted by them. He said, I need your mirrors in the Mishkan, in the Beis Hashem. We're going to be using the mirrors that you use to beautify yourself. And Rav Nishlam says, 100%. That's exactly what I want in my Mishkan. That is exactly what I need the Kohanim to see every day when they get up, before they serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're going to wash their hands. They're going to wash their hands from mirrors that Benos Yisrael beautified themselves in front of these mirrors. Why? Says the Medrash, Mipnei she'asuyim liyitzra hara. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, they're made for the Yetzer Hara. They're made for physical pleasure. Why do we need these mirrors? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kibel, kabel. Accept them. Take them. I want them in my home. I want them in the Mishkan Hashem. Ki elu chavivin alai min kol. Perhaps these are most beloved more than any other donation that I received. She'al yedeihem he'emidu ha'anoshim tzivos rabos b'mitzrayim. Because only because of these mirrors were the women able to accomplish growing their families in Mitzrayim. And Medrash explains, Kishehayu ba'alein yigeim ba'avodes perech. The men were tired. They were worn out. They were from the harsh work. They had given up on the future of Klal Yisrael. Hayu holchos u'malichos lehem machal u'mishta. They would feed their husbands u'machilos u'sam. V'notlos hamaros. And they would take these mirrors, v'chol achas roa atzma imbala b'mara. And they would see themselves with their spouse in their mirror u'mishtadlo b'dvarim. Lomar ani mim noam mimcha, and we try to entice the men, and we tochkach mivios lebaalein li deitayv of neskakuk to him, and that's how Klal Yisrael continued. It was because of this emunah pshuta. It was because of this faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam that Klal Yisrael has to continue. We have no option. It could be we're at the depths. We're at the low point now. We're in Mitzrayim. We don't see how in the world we're ever going to get out of this mess. But Noshim Tzirkoniyos, the Noshim of Klal Yisrael have faith. They have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that faith permeates throughout Klal Yisrael. That faith inspires the men as well and tells the men we have to continue. We can't give up hope. You can't stop here. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan for us. Bring us through this. I think now we could understand a bit why, going back to Tu B'Av, why this is a Yom Tif specifically for women. Explains the Sfas Emes as follows. We asked three questions on the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av. We said, what's the connection between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur? What's the great celebration of these 2 days? Why are the women specifically the ones who celebrate the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av? And why, unfortunately, has Tu B'Av fallen out of practice? Why is Tu B'Av basically, if you know about it, maybe see it on the calendar, but we run our regular days. No great celebration. Ein lahem Yom Tovim Yisrael ki Tu B'Av nowadays. Barely noticed Tu B'Av. If you didn't know it was Tu B'Av, nothing you did. Maybe you don't say Tachlin. That's about it. What's the difference? What happened? So explains the Sfas Emes beautifully as follows. Look at Malkum number 2. The Sfas Emes says as follows. Beautiful Sfas Emes. Mashahoye yomtif b'Tu B'Av kimo b'yom ha'kipurim. Nire debez elu hayu avonos ha'gidolim shebi Yisrael. There were two tremendous sins that Klal Yisrael performed in the Midbar. We know there's a chet of Egel and there's a chet of the Miraglim. Explains the Sfas Emes, Shehiya Merida Beluchas HaTorah. The chet HaEgel was a Merida, was a rebellion against God, against His Torah, against the Luchos. The Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, He smashes the Luchos. We broke the bris, we broke the contract we had with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We betrayed God when it came to the chet HaEgel. The chet Miraglim, Shehiya Merida Be'eretz Yisrael. And the chet of the Miraglim was a rebellion against Eretz Yisrael. God had a plan for us. We had a plan. We were going to be the Am HaNivchar. We were going to be the people serving the Ribbono Shel Olam with no Avodah Zarah, serving God, Alpi the Torah, using the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. That was the plan. And we rebelled against every aspect. We rebelled against God, we rebelled against the Torah, and we rebelled against Eretz Yisrael. These two sins, Chet HaEgel and Chet Miraglim, weren't simply sins. Everything that God had in store for us was destroyed with these sins. And we had to overcome that, and we're still trying to overcome that. These two sins, the kapara, or at least a partial kapara, came when? Chet HaEgel, when would the kapara come? Salachti kidvarecha. When did we get the luchos shnios? That's the Yom Tov Yom Kippur. Ein lahem Yisrael, ein lahem, ein le Yisrael, Yom Tovim ki Yom HaKippurim, because we finally got kapara for Chet HaEgel. Now, when did we get kapara for the Chet HaMeraglim? So why do we celebrate Tu B'Av? There are many different explanations what we're celebrating when it comes to Tu B'Av. But one of the explanations, go back to Mar Malkum number 1, after the three dots, we left off a little bit early. The Gemara says as follows, Rabba Bar Bar Chana Om Reb Yochanan, why are we celebrating Tu B'Av? Yom Shekolu Bo Meisei Midbar. That was the end of the punishment of the Meraglim. The punishment of the Meraglim is that anyone alive in the Midbar today is going to die. That death ended. The last person to die, that generation was over. It was time to go into Eretz Yisrael. When? On Tu B'Av. So that's when we get to Kapara for the second sin. So Ein Lahem Li Yisrael Yomim Tovim Ki Yom HaKippurim of Tu B'Av, because that's when we get the Kapara for these two tremendous Chata'im, these two overwhelming sins which really did damage in our relationship with the Ribbono Shel. And that's why these are celebrations for the women. Because the women go out and they dance, they say, Bachar Sona Einecha. Look at us women, we never felt prey to those sins. We were never had this problem. Come, you can now join the ranks of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos. The Nashim Tzidkaniyos, who this whole time have had that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because they didn't falter when it comes to the Chetem. They would go out and lure the men and say, now you could join us. Now your kapara has come. Yom Kippur, you got kapara for the Chet HaEgel. And Tu B'Av, now you get kapara for the Chet HaMeraglim. Now we could enter Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the women are the main lead the celebration when it comes to Tu B'Av. And this perhaps is why, as explains the Sas Emes, nowadays when it comes to Tu B'Av, it's mitigated. It's not a full simcha. Because the simcha of Tu B'Av is that we finally got Eretz Yisrael. And now that's something we're still waiting for. Baruch Hashem, in the past decades, we've gotten Eretz Yisrael to a degree that we've never imagined. But it's still not with a Binyan Beis Mikdash. It's still to the degree we want. We don't have full control of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, until we regain full control of Eretz Yisrael, Tu B'Av is going to be a mitigated celebration. We're not going to celebrate to the full extent that we do on Yom Kippurim. Because the whole Kapara, the whole celebration of Tu B'Av was that we got Kapara, we got to go into Eretz Yisrael. And now, unfortunately, Bavonoseinu Harabim, we don't have Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we minimize the celebrations. I think with this, we understand, perhaps, why Moshe Rabbeinu specifically davened on Tu B'Av. Because Tu B'Av is a Yom Tov where we focus on the Noshim Tzidkaniyos of Klal Yisrael. Tu B'Av is a Yom Tov where we focus on the Noshim Tzidkaniyos and what got them through, what got us, all of Klal Yisrael, through all the hard times of Klal Yisrael's history. What got us through is that faith, that pure, just unmitigated faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. That whatever seems right now, it could be better. These chata'im, these tremendous sins that we're talking about, Chet HaEgel, Chet HaMeraglim, how did they start? What got Klal Yisrael so nervous? What led to this? The Chet HaEgel, we know, Vayar Ha'om Kiboshesh Moshe, they were nervous, we don't have Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. What do we do? So it's a time of panic. Let's build a Chet HaEgel. The women say, we don't know what the answer is. Let's not panic. There's a plan here. Something's going to happen. The Chet HaMeraglim, the Meraglim come back and they say, Efes, Ki Az Ha'am, what's going on over here? He's leading us into a death trap, the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're not going to be able to take the country over. We're not going to be able to destroy the Umos Ha'olam that are living in Eretz Yisrael. The Anashim, they start crying. The Yivku Ha'am, they start crying. They're all nervous. The women, they love the land, as we see by Bino Slavchot. They're not taking part in it. There's a plan here. Women always have in mind, throughout our history, they have that emuna pshuta, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take care of us. He's going to take us through the hard times, and he's going to bring us to Geula. So comes Moshe Rabbeinu, and his last moments, v'eschanan el Hashem be'esahi leimor. I come to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yoshua has already been pointed. Klal Yisrael is ready to traverse the Yarden, go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is my last chance. Anyone else would have given up at this point. The Gemara says, Cherev Chada Munechas al Tzavar, was as if there was a sharp sword on Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. There was no hope. The Ribbono Shel Olam had already sealed his fate. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, B'schus Nashim Tzidkaniyos. I've learned from my sister Miriam. I've learned from the women of Klal Yisrael never to give up. There's always room for hope, for change. There's always room to daven. V'eschanan el Hashem be'esa hileimur. Specifically on Tu B'Av, Moshe Rabbeinu comes in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, please, give me another chance. B'schus, just like the women of Klal Yisrael, always had that steadfast faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, that faith that got them through the hard times. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was requesting. V'chein yehi ratzon, that the women of our day will once again illustrate that similar faith and bring us out of this long, long gullus to Geula Shleima b'mheira b'yameinu.